You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Have you always wanted to hear the hockey stories told from the press box? For your premier source of hockey prospect news from across the AHL, NCAA, Canadian Hockey League, and international leagues, this is your all-access pass to The Press Zone, a hockey podcast packed with news, analysis, interviews, and entertainment featured on AHLReport.com. Your hosts, Amy Johnson and Rick Stevens, are experienced, credentialed hockey reporters bringing you stories built from strong connections throughout the hockey community and from inside rinks all across North America. Welcome to The Press Zone. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Press Zone podcast right here on the AHL Report, part of Rocket Sports Media and a proud affiliate of the Hockey Podcast Network. We're so glad that you're here with us today, whether you are a longtime listener or if you are just finding us for the first time. Welcome to all of you. And if you haven't done so already, I invite you to just take a second right before we get started here and just tap that subscribe button. We've got a lot of great content coming up for you in the coming weeks, and you don't want to miss a minute of it. I am your host of the show. My name is Amy Johnson. I am also the lead correspondent over at the AHL Report, and you can find that at AHLReport.com. And of course, I'm joined in the studio each and every week by my wonderful co-host. He is our president, founder, and editor-in-chief of... That's three of the many hats he wears, but those are the three most important ones of all of our platforms and publications here at Rocket Sports Media. His name is Rick Stevens.
Good afternoon.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Doing all right. It's hard to believe it's like the last week in September already.
The last podcast, last Press Zone podcast in September, and next week is October. And what does that mean? Well, we know that means... sometime in October, we're going to have NHL, AHL season starting, regular season starting.
Hush. Just hush. Mm-hmm. It's that time. It's hard to believe. We've got a great show for you today. It's been pretty exciting this week, even just getting to watch the first preseason games. And that's how we're going to start the show today. We're going to talk about the preseason game, the debut preseason game, to kick things off for the Montreal Canadiens that took place at the Bell Centre on Monday night, hosting the New Jersey Devils. Rick, it was spotlight on prospects, and fans were really amped up to see some of their favorite new guys in the youth movement, some of whom were making their preseason debut in a Habs sweater. So we're going to just talk a little bit about who we thought performed well of the young guys and who we thought maybe struggled a little bit. And of course, that sets up then the rest of the week, Wednesday and Thursday's games, which I know that you and Michael Spinella will talk about on Saturday's episode of the Canadiens Connection. Mm-hmm. And then in the second segment today, our good friend Patrick Williams is back with us for a new edition of the AHL Hot Stove. We're going to set the stage for the season ahead in terms of the AHL with Patrick, and we have a special announcement from all of us here at the Press Zone for our listeners, which is pretty exciting as well. So you don't want to miss a minute of it. Why don't we get right to it? Although, you know, Rick, if I should mention to folks, if you haven't done so already, of course, we want you to be sure to bookmark AHLReport.com. That's where as soon as the Laval Rocket starts playing games, you're going to start seeing full comprehensive game recaps of every Laval Rocket game with analysis and statistics and all sorts of good things in there. So you're going to want to be checking that all the time. But as a Habs fan in general, you should also be checking allhabs.net on a daily basis, because you'll get all of the latest Habs news, game previews, game recaps for the Canadiens, as well as featured articles that are going to come out on a daily basis, really, at allhabs.net. And your game recap from last night, I thought, ended on the perfect note, which was a very astute kind of prediction that Fans got to watch a very exciting game that the Canadians played last night. The top names were out there making some highlight reel things happen. Cole Caulfield, of course, scoring. Everybody excited to see Juraj Slafkovský. High energy. The fans inside the building were loving it. And but the Canadians still lost. So it's probably, as you say in your recap, it's probably a good indicator of how most games might go this season. But hey, on an entertainment level, how can you can't beat it.
If you live and die on the Canadians winning this season, it's going to be a little bit like last season. A little bit, maybe some improvement. But if you're focused on individual performances, on some... You know, if you can focus on a good line, on mm-hmm. You know, a good defensive play, a good pass, a good, all of that. We saw all of that. A good save. We saw all of that in the first preseason game. Yeah, the New Jersey Devils finished on top, but plenty of entertaining moments throughout the game, especially if you're focused on prospects. It was a lot of fun to watch.
It absolutely was a lot of fun to watch. And just like the rookie tournament, we also should remind people that you have to watch these, particularly these early preseason games, differently. You have to evaluate them a little differently. You can't necessarily, to borrow Rick's phrase, you can't necessarily live and die by what happens in such an early preseason game when, you know, there's a lot of nerves taking place. The guys, the team that they're facing in their opposition is also a roster full of young guys, most of whom, many of whom will not play in the NHL. So, you know, you can get a general idea and sense of a player in general in such an early preseason game, but it's not set in stone, and you're going to see a lot more indicators of how a player is going to perform as you advance through the preseason and you start to get more of an NHL looking lineup as your opposition. But with that in mind, Rick, we can still at least focus on some things that went really well for some players and others who seem to have some struggles. I think Caden Gooley was probably near the top of everyone's pros list of oh, I could see that guy making the roster. Caden Gooley certainly hasn't lost anything in his rehab over the summer and looked very comfortable out there.
Absolutely. Caden Gooley played 17 minutes last night. Is that a little less than he played last year? Sure it is, but if he comes anywhere near that 15, 17 minutes on a regular basis in the NHL, I think he'll be happy. I think coaching staff will be happy. Led the team with 4 block shots. You're probably going to see a lot of that once the regular season starts as well. He was out there for over 2.5 minutes in a penalty kill role. That's probably where he's going to shine as well. So a really strong performance. And I don't want to just focus on the defense, because he showed on Monday night that he's an excellent skater. He can move the puck very effectively out of the zone. And I think for some fans, that was a bit of a surprise.
Speaking of surprises, I think one of the most delightful surprises that came out of the rookie tournament, who continued some really solid play on Monday night, was Owen Beck. Owen Beck really making his presence known in a very positive way. He looks mature on the ice. He's got a lot of smarts, good hockey sense, just good all around 200-foot player.
So if you're expecting to see opening night lineup, the Canadiens' first line include Cole Caulfield and Mike Hoffman on one side, and with Nick Suzuki in the middle. It was Owen Beck that took Nick Suzuki. Well, Nick Suzuki is nursing a minor injury. It was Owen Beck that took that place on the first line, mm-hmm. and he was tremendous. He just as the tasks keep getting more difficult, he keeps rising to the occasion. You know, his face-off prowess was talked about. I think he was 6 of 8 in the first period. He ended the night at 59% at the face-off dot. That's pretty darn good. And didn't make any mistakes. He looked terrific out there on centering the first line between two players that have an NHL pedigree.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Harris is another one going back to the back end who's had a pretty strong camp, and he certainly hasn't shied away from some confident play early on, and I thought that he also stood out a bit on Monday night.
And I'm going to remind people, and I have been doing this, he's playing on his wrong side. How difficult that is for a defenseman to play on the wrong side. He spent some time working on it over the summer, doing drills, doing reps, knowing that there was an availability for the Canadians on the right-hand side. And he's looked very good out there. He's looked very good, you know, even if you forget about what side he's on. Besides Gouley, there was three defensemen coming in, three young defensemen who were kind of competing for spots. Gouley, Justin Barron probably has the edge, and then Jordan Harris. But it's been Harris who has been just a notch behind Gouley and maybe a notch ahead of Justin Barron so far.
Was there anyone else who really kind of stood out for you? I know Philip Machar, I think has been decent, and I've been pleasantly surprised to a degree. I'm not talking NHL level necessarily, but just overall in getting to watch him play with Cimino. Cimino actually has shown some good patience with the puck and some good setup ability. Was there anyone else who has really kind of jumped out at you on the positive end of things from last night's game?
Well, from last night's game, I guess it was, for some fans, it was their first look at Mike Matheson. Matheson mm-hmm. coming over in the big trade with Pittsburgh for Jeff Petrie. Jeff Petrie, eating up 22 minutes of ice time on average last season for the Canadiens. Mike Matheson's never come close to that in his career as far as average ice time. Last night, he was out there for 25 minutes, while we probably won't see him doing that, or let's hope we're not seeing him do that once the season begins, he looked very good, skating, and listen, he's got something to prove as well. So he looked terrific for Montreal and was named first star.
Now, there were, and of course, we're not mentioning the obvious, like Cole Caulfield, of course, with the setting up in the Cole Caulfield power play office, mm-hmm. with that big shot, of course. Slavkovsky, I think, we've said before, Slavkovsky is going to always be the center of attention right now, and there's going to be things he does well. We saw him execute some of his speed and so forth. There's areas that obviously he'll need to work on as well as he transitions to the North American game and China tries to get his feet under him.
He got criticized by some fans last night about running over Nico Daws in the crease. He just lost his place on the ice. I don't think there was a big deal there.
He wasn't even looking at him. It wasn't intentional whatsoever. No. But on the flip side of things, as much as we can see and get excited about some really positive things that we saw from some of the prospects, there were also some who visibly didn't have as great of a game. And is that nerves? Is that ability? Is that a larger issue kind of as being foreshadowed? At this stage, it's still too early to tell. So not to be overly critical of anyone who didn't necessarily have a strong game, but there were a couple of players who I think that we can all agree probably could have had or should have had a better game. And I think the top of that list, unfortunately, has to be Caden Primo. Jake Allen looked pretty decent in the half that he played. Caden Primo, not so much. Didn't necessarily look comfortable. And of the two goals, I didn't really like either goal, but the second one was definitely one Caden Primo should have had.
Yeah, Caden Primo didn't have a great game in the rookie tournament. The first goal he gave up, it was on a Devil's power play, and it's hard to criticize the goaltender, except he made himself look very small. And he's a good size goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
He can, you know, he can fill a lot of net, and he didn't do that on the first goal. The second goal, it was just poor positioning. It was a bad, it was a soft goal.
Didn't seal off the post.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for his confidence. So,
no.
He's got to start putting in some consistently good efforts. You know, if he's fighting for the backup spot, he has to show that he's outperforming Sam Montembeau.
Absolutely. The clock has kind of run out on him having a long leash as far as that's concerned. We've talked about how he needs to build on the success that he had in the postseason for Laval last year. And that's got to, you know, we've said it, you've said it. J.F. Uhl even said it when he joined us on the show last week, that when Caden Primeau is playing in the NHL now, he's got to come up with wins and some positive play. So Caden Primeau will be one to certainly watch throughout this preseason to see how he does. However, I should also note, if you missed our exclusive interview with Laval Rocket head coach Jean-Francois Uhl last week, go back to thepresszone.fm, and it was last week's show. You don't want to miss that. In terms of other prospects who maybe didn't have as strong a game as they would have liked, Rick, the third pairing, not defensive pairing, maybe a little bit of struggles, maybe some nerves there, but certainly weren't as strong as you'd like them to be.
Is the stage too big for Gianni Fairbrother? Probably at this level, but more was expected out of Matthias Norlander, and He's certainly fallen down the depth chart as far as the young defenseman. He's skilled, he's talented, he skates well. Decision-making and maybe taking too much time to make those decisions, but there's still a lot of games left to be played in preseason.
There are. Was there anyone else who you felt overly struggled or didn't have a good night?
No, I mean, there are guys that, who are going to go back to, are going to be playing in the AHL. And so, you know, Raphael Harvey-Pinard, Anthony Richard, who looked great in the red-white game, the intramural game. But you don't necessarily expect them to be, shining at this level with NHL competition.
No. All in all, despite the loss, it was an exciting game to watch. And I'm very, I just love the energy that the young prospects have on the ice. I love the energy that they are bringing to the game. And I love the energy that they are giving to fans of the Canadiens, who are obviously very excited to see what these young guys are going to do. And we're going to get to see that two more times this week, actually three if you count Saturday night's game. So lots of great hockey coming up this week. Can't wait to see how all of that unfolds. But right now what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, Patrick Williams is going to join us for the AHL Hot Stove, where we're going to get you set up for the AHL season ahead. And we have a very special announcement from all of us here at the Press Zone for our listeners that you're not going to want to miss. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Press Zone right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
College football is back. It's time to enjoy the tradition, the fun, and the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. To celebrate the best time of the year, right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. If that's not enough action, you can also place a same-game parlay for a shot at an even bigger payout. Just combine multiple bets into one, like which team will get the win, which team to score first, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on college football and get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code THPN. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 and over in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for terms and resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. One per new customer. Minimum $5 deposit and wager. $200 issued as eight $25 free bets.
And welcome back to the Press Zone right here on the AHL Report, part of Rocket Sports Media and an affiliate, proud affiliate of the Hockey Podcast Network. We are so glad that you're back with us today. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, joined by Rick Stevens in the studio. And if you haven't done so already, as I said at the top of the show, just hit that subscribe button. We've got lots of great content coming for you as the season gets underway here. As we do every week, there's no off season here for the Press Zone. Also, if you could share our content, that's another button we'd like you to hit. Hit that share button, share this podcast on your favorite social media platform, and it's the best way to help us spread the word about the Press Zone and all the wonderful interviews and conversations that we have here about the Montreal Canadiens prospects. Hard to believe that that October. And I'm not even going to say the hashtag because we were even just talking about this before the show today that we're not saying the hashtag. But the month of October is going to be here very, very soon. And so that means this week on the AHL Hot Stove, we are kind of setting the stage for the season. And who better to help us do that, of course, than our dear friend Patrick Williams, who is back with us again for another edition of the AHL Hot Stove. Patrick, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Here, the fan club there is happy as well.
I should just say for the record, I am not the one that controls those buttons. That is all Rick. Our listeners need to know that it's not Amy pushing those buttons.
It's a button?
No, yeah. It's live.
It's live. Well, yes.
It's live in it's studio.
In studio. There's, yeah. Yes, we have a live studio audience of children.
Yes.
Ask us why.
Well, they're trying to, develop. This league's all about development, trying to develop the next generation of fans.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Okay, somebody take that away from him. No, in all seriousness, though, it's always good to have you here with us. And wow, yeah, preseason, like, rookie camps are done. That went by super fast. And we're already into preseason. We're already seeing the first cuts coming out of camps. So it's getting to be that time to kind of get set up for the season, Patrick. In terms of the AHL, there's a couple of significant things really that our listeners should be looking forward to kind of keeping an eye on around the AHL this season. And one of them actually directly ties to a fantastic article that you had out at the AHL's website. That's theahl.com. And, you know, we talked with you quite often throughout the offseason about, you know, okay, this new coach got hired here and this new coach got hired there around the AHL. But you went ahead and compiled all of the coaching changes that took place around the league this past season. And it turned out to be a pretty significant thing for this offseason, yeah?
Yeah, well, to start, there were 9 coaching changes, direct changes, and then there were 2 additional situations in Bakersfield and Rockford where the existing interim coach was promoted to a permanent status. So that's 11 teams that have some sort of shift or at least adjustment in their coaching plan out of 32 teams. So, you know, do the math there, right? That's roughly 1 out of 3 teams. So, and the thing that I noticed this summer is just the variety of coaches that you saw coming on board. You know, and a little weird fact is there's a 32-year-old age gap between the oldest coach in the league, Roy Sommer, 66 years old, and the youngest head coach now, which is Trent Vogelhuber in Cleveland, who's 34. And it's just a wide perspective, obviously, of hockey experience, kind of the old school, but also that blend of the new school. You have a mix of guys who've been in the NHL as head coaches, Dan Bylsma, former Jack Adams winner, mm-hmm. Jeremy Colleton, who I think didn't really get the best situation in Chicago with the Blackhawks there. I think he was promoted before it was he was ready, and then he was promoted just as the team was starting its downfall. And you know, he was the guy that kind of got caught in the middle of that. So you have guys like that. You have kind of a more experienced name coming back from the NHL as well. Todd Nelson won a Calder Cup. Extremely experienced coach, kind of has done it all at this point. He's coming into Hershey, which is always a premier job. Past two head coaches that have come through Hershey are now NHL assistants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a pretty good place to be if you have NHL hopes. You have Roy Sommer, like I said. Now, he's no longer in San Jose for the first time in 24 years. He's in San Diego now, one of the rivals of San Jose. So that's an interesting little twist, seeing him have that first real change. I mean, he was with the Sharks since, well, at least with their AHL system, since 1998.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. And he saw the real evolution of the AHL from, you know, the late 90s version, which was tough, hard grinding, you know, enforcer-oriented lead where development mattered, but it also took a backseat in some ways to what it is today. So he's been able to evolve and make that transition through the years. Put 150 players in the NHL during his time with San Jose. You know, pretty much anyone that came through, or that was kind of ended up being a fixture with the San Jose Sharks over the years, whether it was Joe Pavelski, tour, so on. Played for Roy Sommer at one point, and I think it's a real testament to what he's been able to do through his career, all-time AHL leader in wins and games as a coach. So just really impressive. And then Brock Sheehan coming in kind of reminds me of a little bit of Ryan Warsawski, who he's replacing in Chicago. Very ambitious, very young, heralded coach coming in now, take over the Chicago Wolves as they try to defend their Calder Cup championship. Warsawski's off to the Sharks as an assistant, so it's kind of in keeping with what Carolina has been able to do in terms of really bringing kind of those young, highly heralded coaching prospects to take over their, you know, their operation at the AHL level. So it's a good mix of coaches this year. And then just round out the group, Marco Sturm, who has no connection before this year to the AHL whatsoever.
Hmm.
Played 900, almost 1,000 games in the NHL. He has experience with, you know, internationally with Germany as a player and a head coach, but you know, he's taken over the Ontario Reign, and kind of he's going to get his first look at the AHL, and it's a big transition for any coach. He's with the LA Kings the past 4 years as an assistant, but he's somebody that's going to have to kind of find his way. Now, I'll say this for the LA Kings. They give you every resource you could ever want as a coach, and I think he'll do well, but it will be interesting just to see that adjustment period for him. So, yeah, just a real good mix, a little bit of everything you know, coming into the coaching ranks, or coming back, I should say, in some cases. AHL the season, and just the theme is just there's a lot of different paths, you know, whether it's you're coming in from junior, you're coming in, you know, back from the NHL, you're coming in from the USHL, whatever the case may be, there's a lot of different pathways to running your own AHL team.
Well, it's really interesting because, as you say, it's quite a mix. The coaches on the list have a variety of backgrounds and experience. But they're also coaching with organizations that approach things rather differently. Some on the list, some of the teams are a little more prescriptive when it comes to development and maybe trying to match the system with their NHL affiliate. And others are maybe what we consider traditionally more independent AHL franchises like the Hershey's or Chicago's. So this this whole jigsaw puzzle of coaches and teams, and it really gives quite a nice flavor to the league as well.
Yeah, that's always an interesting decision for the AHL, the NHL coaches to make together on systems. What are you going to play? I know, for example, in Philly, John Tortorella coming in has given Ian LaPerriere kind of the freedom to develop his own system in Lehigh Valley, which is always, it's interesting because, you know, so often we hear, well, you want them playing the same system, you know, so that, you know, that transition is seamless when they're called up, and it makes a lot of sense. The problem sometimes though is you don't always have the same personnel, the same type of personnel at the AHL level to be able to play that system. I mean, if you're trying to play a system that relies obviously heavily on skating and speed, and you don't have the horses to do so, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. So, you know, trying to sync that up is always a big challenge for coaches at this level. And, you know, I think this is, in a lot of ways, this league is kind of a crossroads of the hockey world, where you just get people come in from all different places, and there's that willingness to experiment that maybe you don't always get at the NHL level, where obviously it's all about winning and you don't have the freedom to do so. So, I think it really keeps things interesting in this league, where, you know, you can see a lot of that kind of tinkering and experimentation, that, you know, at this level.
Well, kind of going along with that too, just as a last question here on this topic, going along with how much more development minded most of the AHL franchises now are, kind of under a mandate from their NHL counterparts, is it your sense and feeling that really over the last handful of years, there's been the stock has really risen on who franchises are hiring as their AHL bench bosses, both from a team perspective and also even from a fan perspective, of fans paying more attention to who is coaching prospects of their favorite team at the AHL level?
Yeah. And I think it just is in keeping with that overall theme of the AHL affiliate has taken on such a important role in the salary cap era, which, you know, we sort of talk about it like it's new. It started in 2005. So, but there's been that evolution. Just the amount of resources that the teams now put into the AHL operation. I mean, one of the themes of my piece was it's one of the most important hires, and I've been told that by different general managers, that you can make in your entire NHL operation. See your NHL head coach, your GM, maybe your assistant GM, and then your AHL head coach kind of right there, director of scouting. And we've seen teams that really nail that hire, you know, like Ben Grew and Syracuse, for example. Tampa has been benefiting from that now for years, because every year, 3-4 players, he has them ready to go. And Tampa's able to kind of survive that churn of players that you know, as veterans move on, or, you know, they, you know, no longer fit in the cap, you're able to insert good, young, frankly, cheap talent. And a lot of that is due to what you have working with them on a day-to-day basis in the American Hockey League. So if you don't get that hire correct, it can really sidetrack your NHL operation long-term. I think there's a lot more thought that gets put into it. It's no longer sort of, well, you know, I played with this guy, you know, back, you know, when we were playing together, and, you know, he's my buddy, and sure, let's give him a shot at the American League level. No, now it's a major hire, there's a lot more consideration. You know, you get anywhere from 150 to 200 applications for a given job, so you really are able to choose from kind of best of the best that are not actually working in the NHL. You know, as teams invest heavily in assistant coaches and goalie coaches, and now some teams even have an assistant goalie coach for the American League team, it's just a whole new operation that really wasn't that way when I started.
Well, it will be, it'll be quite fun to see how such a large crop of new AHL head coaches will perform in this first part of the season as things get underway. Another exciting thing coming up this year is finally, perhaps we can knock on wood a little bit that, you know, if all goes well, this could be the first quote unquote normal AHL season that we've had since the pandemic shut down in March of 2020. And so with that means that there are some things that we can and fans can get excited about returning to the AHL this season.
The All-Star Classic is back. You know, we hope, obviously. I mean, you know, one of these years it's going to be normal, right? So like, why not this year?
Why not this year?
and you have to approach it that way. Like until events dictate otherwise, you know, you proceed and you hope for the best, plan for the worst, obviously. But the All-Star Classic is back. It's in Laval. Obviously, I think it's going to be really successful event. We all saw, especially the last, you know, postseason, how that fan base really kind of came out and got behind the Laval Rocket and part of that run to the Eastern Conference Final. And it should be a great event. The last time it was held was in January of 2020 in Ontario. It was the first time it was ever in the West Coast. So that was a big deal for the AHL. And now, you know, it was announced during the, it was in 2020 that it would be coming to Laval. Well, twice that was postponed. So this time, third time's the charm, we hope. It'll be February 5th and 6th. And then the All-Star, or I should say the Hall of Fame induction, which will in part be inducting Dave Andrews into the AHL Hall of Fame, will be part of that as well. So a good event for a lot of fans where, you know, they can really kind of, you know, make a little holiday of it. And I mean, obviously it's, you know, anybody that's ever been to Laval knows you're, you know, quick hop from Montreal. So, you know, it's a pretty nice place to have an event. I think players will be excited to be able to go there. You know, anything obviously that happens in Montreal, you're going to have a lot of eyes on it and a lot of the hockey world's attention. So it should be a really good event for fans. And, you know, it's very fan friendly. I think as anybody that's ever been to an All-Star event at this level knows, you know, they take the glass down for the skills competition.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
They'll take pictures and selfies with fans and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's very casual, you know, very kind of AHL and very minor league. And I mean that in the best sense of the word.
Right.
Just a little bit more just a laid back event, and players are pretty relaxed, and they usually do a charity event as well. So it's a good event, and I think it's a nice way to break up the season, especially at that point. It'll be 3-4 months in, so players seem to get behind it really well, and I think this will be a really good event.
And if you're planning way ahead, you mentioned the West Coast. 2024 All-Star AHL All-Star Game is going to be hosted by the San Jose Barracuda. So back to the West Coast, hopefully, if all goes well.
Back to the West Coast, be in their brand new building, the TechCU Arena. They haven't even opened it yet. It kind of had its debut earlier this month for the Prospects Tournament that the Sharks hosted between kind of the West Coast teams out there. So, you know, it's a beautiful facility. You know, top line, you know, state of the art, everything, you know, you could want. And, you know, it really is a situation where, you know, teams really want to, I think, start getting behind this event. And, you know, and I think for fans, obviously, you know, there's far worse places to visit in the winter time than San Jose, California. I can tell you that when, you know, the event was in Ontario, and you touch down in Ontario and you walk outside the airport, it's pretty nice.
Not too shabby.
The players certainly really got into it. And, you know, in Ontario, for example, they kind of played up the whole Hollywood, Los Angeles theme. I mean, you're only 45 minutes to an hour away. They had the red carpet. You know, I think the players kind of got a little bit of a kick out of that. So it was a nice event. You know, it's a ton of work for the host team and for the league, but I think ultimately when they look back on it, you know, it was well worth it.
Well, it is exciting. It's exciting for Laval fans who have been waiting for a few years for this to happen. So it will be exciting for the fans in Laval and for AHL fans in general to be able to mark this date on their calendar again and look forward to it. It's such a popular weekend for AHL hockey fans. It's great to see that there's a good chance that we're actually going to get to see that happen this year. The other thing that we're pretty excited about is actually some news from the Press Zone itself. We've got such great feedback from our listeners that they just really enjoy, Patrick, when you're here with us for the AHL Hot Stove, that we're happy to announce that Patrick's going to be joining us every week for the AHL Hot Stove.
Oh, the fan club continues to
absolutely, yeah.
It's... deliver the support. yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Do it weekly. We had a really good experience doing it bi-weekly, and I guess now you get twice as much of me. See how you feel at the end of the year.
Oh, it's gonna be.
It should be fun.
It should be fun. It's gonna be great. You as Rick has very very kindly dubbed you the AHL guru, and you've just got so much insight and knowledge to impart to fans. Both, you know, not just of the Laval Rocket, which is what a lot of our fans pay attention, our listeners pay attention to, but the AHL in general. And I think it's gonna be really fun to have you join us every week on the show, and we can really kind of maybe, you know, broaden the spectrum a little bit on the AHL coverage that we do here. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And from my perspective, we have such good conversations with Patrick each and every week and about our recording. We talk about everything hockey, sports wise. And it's just, it's good to share information, and it's good to share that with our growing podcast community. So we're happy to have him here every week, all for the entire hockey season.
Absolutely. So Patrick, we're super excited to have you, with us again this year, part of the Rocket Sports crew, and even getting to have you join us even more often, twice as nice as last year. So we're really looking forward to it.
Thank you. Looking forward to it as well.
Well, Rick, it's pretty exciting to be able to finally tell folks that Patrick is going to be with us every week for the AHL Hot Stove segment. We're going to have some pretty fun interviews, I think, with Patrick coming on more often, as well as lots of great information about the AHL and the Laval Rocket. So it's pretty exciting news for us to be able to say that Patrick is going to be here every week.
The studio audience is always excited to see Patrick, but now the wider audience, yes.
That's true. That is very, very true. We appreciate you being here with us all summer long, and it's very exciting that we are finally at the place where we're going to start getting into the nitty-gritty of the season and really start having some games and some evaluations to talk about. So be sure you've subscribed to the podcast. Also, be sure you have subscribed to the Canadians Connection podcast, our Montreal Canadiens NHL-focused podcast hosted by Rick as well as Michael Spinella. You can find that at CanadiansConnection.fm. Make sure you hit the subscribe button there. As I said at the top of the show, bookmark allhabs.net and ahlreport.com. You don't want to miss any of the content that's coming out now that the season is getting underway. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you do that as well. I host the Habs Hockey Report show every Thursday there at youtube.com/allhabs. You don't want to miss that as well. We have a lot of fun over there and lots of fan interaction. Rick, this was a very fun show. Lots of great information. It's just exciting that hockey is kind of, it's kind of like you're just settling back into a very familiar groove with games back on TV.
Fans have been waiting for this time of year, and it's finally here, and everybody's excited about it.
I think so. So enjoy the rest of the week filled with lots of hockey action. We can't wait to come back here next Tuesday and talk to you more about the prospects and how they are doing. And maybe we'll have some Laval cuts to talk about, guys who we know will be on the Laval roster by then. Who knows? Lots to talk about, we are sure. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you back here next Tuesday for another great episode of The Press Zone right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe to never miss an episode of The Press Zone on Rocket Sports Radio. Visit AHLReport.com for the latest news on hockey prospects.